with you to a very different passage of Scripture to reflect upon this evening. It's probably the most famous Old Testament passage that there is in Christendom today, Psalm 23. You can go to the nursing home to visit, and they want you to do Psalm 23, and you open up your modern Bible, and you start reading, and they're looking at you funny, because they don't know the same version you're reading. They have memorized it in old school King James. And so you quickly learn to go back to your office and bring your old school King James with you so that you can actually read it to them and they can read it right along with you. How many of you have it memorized? You don't have to show your hands. You know the psalm I'm talking about, right? Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Yes, we know it. Now, how on earth is that a Christmas message? Well, it's simple, beloved. It really is. I mentioned on Sunday when we were here that God ripped into history like he had never done before and never will again when Jesus Christ was born. He totally cleaved reality. When Christ came and fulfilled his mission, the birth, death, resurrection, and the ascension of Christ as a kernel, as an entity in itself, granted it took 33 years and, you know, however we, but when he came, it made it all possible, and everything, all of reality, all of it, reality, you know, the farthest star, the most distant galaxy, to the most microscopic amoeba, quark, whatever they're going to discover, everything hinges on that moment because of who he is. Hebrews tells us in the fullness of time, God spoke to us in ages past in many ways and in diverse manners. But now, through his son Jesus Christ, it's that moment that literally and without cliche makes all the difference in anyone's life, in the entire world. So, every passage in Scripture is a Christmas passage. Every passage in Scripture is a gospel passage if we have eyes to see and hearts that respond. Now, that doesn't mean that Psalm 23 didn't have a meaning to the people that David wrote it to or that he wrote it for. Let's read it together. And at some point in time, do yourself a favor and read Psalm 22, 23, and 24 all at the same time, because it will open your eyes to the meaning of our favorite Psalm 23. Psalm 23 reads this way, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I apologize that it's not in the King's English. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are two points. We don't know when or why David wrote this. We do know that it was David and all that that means. David the shepherd boy, David the warrior, David the king on the run, David the conquering king, David the old man, David the sinner. But he wrote it as an expression of his understanding of who God is. And it's right there in the very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. David recognized the fact that he had a shepherd. That he needed a shepherd? Is it really about David? No, it's about the shepherd. And so for all of eternity, he declares to us who his shepherd is. Who's your shepherd? Do you need one? Is it your mom? Is she the one that lays your clothes out for you every night before school and makes sure your shoes are right and, you know, your bed is all... Is it mom? Is it your dad? Is he the one that you turn to every single time you need something when the radiator's broken or, you know, you got your finances in trouble? Or who's your shepherd? David says it's the Lord. And then he tells us exactly what he communicates about the Lord. Because the Lord is his shepherd, he shall not want and he shall not fear. Because his shepherd makes him to lie down in green pastures and leads him beside quiet waters and restores his soul. Today, I gave blood this morning, and this has never happened to me before. It normally doesn't affect me very much at all because my life is very routine. So you give blood, you come back to the office, you do your thing. But I decided that Andrew and I were going to go out ice fishing, and I had to open up my hole. So we get out there, and before I can even get to my house, I'm huffing and I'm puffing, and I don't understand why. And it's not because I'm out of shape. I mean, I am out of shape. Okay? But when we opened the hole the first time, it wasn't that bad. And I'm huffing and I'm puffing. I'm saying, what's going on? I got to sit down, Andrew. He's looking at me kind of funny. So I start chipping away, and I can't even break open the one edge, and I got to sit down again. I got to sit down. And eventually, it took me half an hour to chip through about an inch of ice. It was crazy. I'm sitting there with the saw on an inch of ice, and I just can't do it. I'm just totally drained. And then we sit down finally, and a fish comes in the hole, and it's exciting. And right about then, I get sick to my stomach. I'm going to hurl. I'm just sitting there praying, oh, dear Jesus, get us to 245 so we can go home, 145. Get me out of here. But we talked and we visited, and my stomach was so upset. I couldn't figure out why I gave blood. I wasn't praying, Lord, restore my soul. When do your soul need to be restored? Do you look to your shepherd? He guides me in paths of righteousness. And then here it is. Here's the zinger. Here's the hook. Here's the thing that David wants us to understand about his shepherd. Not that David deserves it. Not that he is a man after God's own heart. Not that he is such a wonderful king or a follower of God, or he serves his church magnificently, quietly in the back by cleaning the toilets or serving on the women's committee or, you know, making sure that the bulletins are picked up after Sunday so nobody... For his name's sake. That's why God acts. That's why he's your shepherd. That's why he is the shepherd. It's for his name's sake. It has nothing to do with you. He doesn't restore your soul because you need your soul restored. He doesn't make you to lie down in green pastures because you deserve it. Just give me a break, Lord. Calgon, take me away. And for those of you who remember that commercial, praise the Lord. He acts for his name's sake. We are the beneficiaries of the way in which God behaves towards his own self. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, David knows reality. David understands that in this world we will have trouble. There will be turmoil and pain and separation and everything that is associated with the valley of the shadow of death. And yet he says, even though he's walking through it, he fears no evil. Because he's so brave, because he's courageous, because he's learned to walk through this valley, because he's seen it 100 times. No, because his shepherd is with him. And in that valley, the shepherd uses his rod and his staff to encourage and to correct David, and that's comforting to him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. David looks to the Lord and realizes that everything that he has Even in the midst of his enemies, when he can eat, when he can lay his head with his sword by his side, God has taken care of him and provided for him. And we'll get to verse 6 in a minute, the rest of verse 6. So how is this a Christmas thing? Well, if what I said is true, and it is, not because I said it, but just because it is, the Christmas event, the coming of Christ, takes David's psalm, which means everything that we just said, and far more, and transforms it because of the life of Christ. So we not only read from the front cover to the back cover of Scripture, we read from the back cover to the front cover, because Christ transforms it all. Now, the first one shouldn't be hard, really. Jesus, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. You see, that's the life of Christ. He came, and he is the shepherd that David was talking about. He's also the chief shepherd. That's why we can say it's all about him. What would happen tomorrow if I die in my sleep tonight? I am not the chief shepherd here. I don't want to be the chief. He is the chief shepherd. And his will is perfect, and his way is perfect. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. That's not hard. That one isn't difficult. Believe me, I don't want to die tonight. I don't want to die tonight. But I don't get to make that call. What is it that you and I have so much trust and invested in that if it were taken away from us, that we would lose our shepherd? Is it another human being of any relationship? This is a Christmas message. The shepherd has come. He has been born. I shall not want. What do you want? You want better behaved kids? What do you want? Do you want financial security? What do you want? Do you want to lose 5 pounds? Do you want to be healed of your cancer? What do you want? If you know the shepherd, because of who he is, this isn't some pie in the sky kind of thing. Jesus Christ is our all in all. In him we live and move and have our being. Because of who he is, there is no want. But if you want a remote control helicopter, men, I get it, but that's vastly different than what David is talking about here. David is talking about a satisfaction. What satisfies you? David says, he is my shepherd and I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. He restores me for his name's sake. I fear no evil. What do you fear, beloved? Jesus Christ has come and perfect love casts out fear. There is no one like Christ that can love you perfectly the way he does. And his love casts out all fear. Do you fear disease, the government, financial ruin? Do you fear man? Do you fear our enemies? Who do you fear? We live in such a society that we're afraid that we're going to get sued, and so we have to put on our coffee cups hot. Caution, hot. Oh, really? We're afraid. We're so afraid that in our airports, they have to announce over the loudspeaker, if your bag has been left for more than 5 minutes, please check in with security, or whatever they say, because it could be an explosive device. We're afraid. Should we not be afraid of those things? I'm not saying that. I'm really not saying that. The other day, a friend of mine, and she knows who she is, and a lot of people know this, but it was wonderful. Friday night, we were here for a movie night, and I was going out ice fishing the next day, and she just said, you know, just off the cuff in a loving way, make sure you stay on the right side of the ice. And I turned around and looked, and I said, well, if I don't, I'll see you in heaven. That doesn't mean I'm always ready, but I was ready at that moment. I'm ready right now. That's because I already ate supper. No, I haven't eaten supper. But what do you fear? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Where can I go from your presence, O Lord? Where can I hide? If I ascend to the highest mountain, you're there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, you're there. No matter where I go, you're there. There is no hospital room, no doctor's room, even though your family might not be there, where he is not. Because he came. It's a Christmas moment. It's who he is. God ripped into reality at that moment. Does he provide for you? Does he prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies? Does he anoint your head with oil? Does your cup overflow? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the answer to those questions is yes, if you're satisfied in him. If it's no, you need to check that relationship. You need to go back to the beginning and visit the manger again. Because he has come. And then I mentioned, we're going to get to the end. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. How could David say that? His own son wanted to kill him. See, David isn't talking about these relationships. He's talking about this relationship, the relationship he has with God and who God is. But that's all true for us and for David, because at a moment in time, Christ came. Almighty God, Emmanuel, God is with us. For every struggle, every heartache, every joy, every praise, Jesus has come. And that's how Psalm 23 becomes a Christmas message. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David looks past his present into his future, and he says, because you are with me, I am going to have fellowship with you forever. Jesus Christ comes, and we look into our past to see our future, to say through faith in Christ, we will be in heaven and have fellowship with God forever. This is a one-to-one ratio. There is no translation needed. Exactly what David meant, because he was looking forward to Christ. We look back to Christ. Because of Christ's coming, we look both into the future, into the kingdom of God. The consummation, when everything will be fulfilled. Great white throne, hallelujah chorus, worthy is the Lamb, all of that. Revelation 20 and 21. 21 and 22. All of it. That's what makes this a Christmas passage. And so, as we prepare to sing, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, as we leave from this place and go to our beast feasts, I'm trying to do Dr. Seuss there, the roast beast. and we enjoy one another and we have our hot cider or whatever it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time and for your word that always speaks to us of Christ. And Father, sometimes we can't see it, sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it's right in our face. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us and give us eyes to see and hearts that respond well. In the name of Christ, amen.